hands up if you came here with a people smuggler and it was easy to get over the border from Turkey to Bulgaria. There's a lot of people nodding yes.
Yes.
And it's easy?
Easy.
No, not easy.
Turkey is home to more refugees than any other country in the world. Over 3 million from the war in Syria and 1 million more, including those who fled the war in Afghanistan. To get from Turkey to the European Union, you can go by boat to Greece or by land across mountains and forests and rivers and sometimes a fearsome-looking razor wire fence to Bulgaria, like these men have done, who spoke to me at a refugee camp in southeast Bulgaria. So you pay the smugglers, you climb over the fence, but you don't see the police.
Police, no police.
That route is known as the East Mediterranean route. And back in 2015, millions of people reached Europe this way to flee conflicts in the Middle East. Since then, international deals have been struck and border security toughened across Europe to stem the flow of migrants. The European Union has paid billions of euros to Turkey to stop migrants attempting the journey, and billions more to countries in North Africa, Tunisia and Libya, which might be one reason that major route from North Africa to Italy has been in decline this year. The numbers travelling via the East Mediterranean route, though, from Turkey into either Bulgaria or Greece, has been steadily growing since 2021. What's driving people to make dangerous journeys across land and sea to Europe? I'm Nick Robinson and I've been to Turkey and Bulgaria to meet the people looking to make their way into Europe, those who've just made it, and the people trying to stop them. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
So it was a smuggler. He asked us to put the money in the third party, which both of us would trust and would know. So we put the money, $4,000, and we don't know the smuggler, we don't know his name. We get in a car and they took us to the border.
I've come to a cafe and shisha bar in Esenyurt, a district of Istanbul that not just has the most Syrians in this city, but the biggest population in Turkey as a whole. In the corner, they're playing rummy with tiles instead of cards. People are drinking coffee. They're smoking. I've come here to meet Mohammed, who's tried to get out of this country not once, but twice. The second time, crossing the border with Bulgaria, paying smugglers to help him do so, but having to cross a potentially dangerous river to get to Europe.
You have to walk. After crossing the river, you have to walk for 48 hours, sometimes more. But in our case, after 24 hours, we were spotted by the Bulgarian patrol and we got captured. We were beaten. They were just stripped us from our clothes. They just kept us in a basement. They beat us. They insulted us. So that's why I decided to never go again.
Bulgaria's border force have told the BBC they take seriously allegations of human rights violations and they'll investigate any specific accusations in a timely manner. Whilst Mohammed says he doesn't want to attempt another crossing, many in his position are thinking of it because they no longer feel welcome in Turkey. President Erdogan has said it's time his country's guests, as he called them, went home. Migrants without papers are being arrested and deported. Even those with them can face being harassed and abused. My guide to the changing mood here is another refugee from Syria, Hussam.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome to Fatih.
This is the bazaar.
This is the bazaar of Fatih. It's a bit crowded right now after the Friday's prayer. You can see the Syrian shops here. Many of these shops were not here in 2015. After that, this bazaar really changed. You have falafel, you have shawarma, you have many shops that is Syrian food.
Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
This is beautiful. It's not a cake. Full of pistachios. What is this?
Halwa for sweet.
How long have you lived here in Istanbul?
Before 10 years.
I like Turkey and I stay here and I speak Turkish. For me, don't have any problem. But for Suriyeli people, I think have some problem. Yeah.
They get hassle. Mm. So Hassan, it's not just the halver is sweet. He feels sweet about living in Turkey still.
Yeah, because he just adapted with the situation. He has his small shop.
And now it looks like a safe place for Syrians to live. But is it?
It was a comfortable, safe place for Syrians. But in the past few, let's say, years, it's not safe anymore for many Syrians. They're just feared of some groups of racist people who don't like refugees, especially in the public transportation. Let's say you're going in the tram, you cannot speak comfortably in Arabic with your phone because many incidents happened. People attacked because they were speaking Arabic on the phone. So this was really an issue for many Syrians here, so they cannot speak Arabic in public comfortably.
The mood here has changed, and changed dramatically. A once warm welcome for refugees has turned into a hope they'll leave at best, and at worst, outright hostility. Emma Sinclair Webb's lived in this city for 14 years. She works for Human Rights Watch.
Previous Erdogan governments did the right thing in accepting refugees. They played an enormous role in protecting Syrians from the terrible civil war in Syria. You know, being in Turkey gave Syrians some kind of chance of a future and stability. That has gone because politically the atmosphere has changed. However, the situation in Syria is still so dangerous, and it's so dangerous for people to be sent back there.
And has it changed partly because there's now an openly anti-refugee party?
Yes, there's certainly an anti-refugee party that's pulled everything to the right and has a xenophobic discourse, which it's proud of. Things that in the past were not sayable are now stated out loud. Hatred of foreigners, hatred of refugees, an idea that you should go back to Syria, go back to Afghanistan. A particularly shocking illustration of this is a party in Turkey called the Victory Party, which had at one stage a logo of a bus. And this bus was to signify that they would send Syrians to Syria by bus.
We're not a very subtle party, and that's why we have a following that's amassing. We're growing.
The vice chair of that party with the bus as a logo, Netzi Karaman, admits his party is small. Speaking to me before the taking of Aleppo by jihadist rebels, he told me his party was growing fast,
getting more people,
and spoke
to sympathize
for many, many Turks.
It's a terrible tragedy what the Syrians witnessed. Turkey did a great job back in the day allowing these migrants, these refugees, to seek refuge in our country under temporary protection status. But now there's no war anymore. And it seems that Assad is not going anywhere. And Assad has issued several decrees pardoning the people that fled the country. And I know where you're going to come. Can they trust Assad? Well, that's not a problem. I mean, the war is over. And they have to go back.
The Turkish government says that more than 160,000 undocumented migrants, mostly Syrians and Afghans, have been deported since June 2023. And in the same period, an additional 130,000 Syrians made what the Turkish government call voluntary returns back to Syria. We would have liked to have talked to a member of the Turkish government or of President Erdogan's political AKP party about their refugee policy, but no one was available to talk to us. Those who don't want to stay in Turkey nor to be returned home now face a choice. To Europe, a long, dangerous walk over the mountains, through forests or across rivers to Bulgaria, or by boat across the Aegean Sea to Greece. In a Syrian restaurant over a dinner of maklaba.
It smells very good.
Ali, who was a footballer in Damascus before the war forced him to leave, showed me the videos on his phone that promised a route to a better life. So that's showing Greece, is it?
Yeah.
There's a picture of a boat, there's a picture of a plane, and then there's a map showing some people who've obviously arrived in Greece.
This logo and the picture is to confirm to the audience that we already arrived. I'm sharing my location.
He is celebrating that he has left Turkey and he's got to Europe.
غير هيك في التطبيق الحكومي مثلا انا كمل كي غير ولايه اسطنبول وعايش باسطنبول وعم اشتغل باسطنبول.
It's tough here in Turkey, especially if you don't have a degree. Also you have risks of being deported because now I have a different ID which I cannot stay in Istanbul. It's different province, so I cannot work legally here. You have many risks of being stopped by the police here.
So are you now planning to leave Turkey?
Of course, I'm thinking about, absolutely, I'm thinking about leaving. Not just me, all my friends. This is what we are talking all about right now.
What my conversations with Ali, Hussam and Mohammed show is there are always new reasons people feel they want, they need to head to Europe. Turkey may be turning on the refugees that have made it their home, pushing them to new places, but wars and climate change mean migration across the world looks set to go up rather than down. And politicians are grappling with that potential future. In Germany, which opened its arms to refugees, firstly from the Syrian and then the Ukraine wars, the man the polls suggest may be the next Chancellor, Christian Democrat Friedrich Merz, is arguing that Germany's borders should in effect be closed to asylum seekers from Syria and Afghanistan. Italy's government has begun processing asylum seekers abroad in Albania, which is not in the EU, and is leading efforts to strike deals with non-EU countries that reduce migration in return for financial aid. Governments across Europe, France, Spain, Britain, the Netherlands, to name just a few, are under mounting pressure to show that they can curb migration. In a moment, I'll be asking how successful these efforts can be when faced with the demand from people who believe that only by moving they can get a better life. My name is Nick Robinson. You're listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
So here we are.
This is the fence. You were searching for it very far away, but actually it was just very close.
I'm in a tiny farming village called Shtit in southeast Bulgaria, just a few hundred metres from the fearsome-looking fence that divides the EU from Turkey. My guide to the border is Hamid, a man who escaped from Iran to Turkey and then found himself thrown out of that country and decided to try to cross this border to make his way to safety in Bulgaria. He now works with an NGO that helps others like him who've made that journey.
I feel like we're at the top of the world now. We can see all the way around us.
Yeah.
Rolling hills. So this is Bulgaria?
Yeah. At the south we can see the Turkey. And at east it will be Greece.
So this is also the border of the EU?
Yes, the first border of EU. As you see, the fence is almost like 4 meters. You can see that there is wires on it, that the diameter is 1 meter. So half meter outside from left, half meter outside from right.
Yeah, so it's not just going up in the air, it's sticking out as well.
Also at the top it's even become more. So they are very sharp and almost it's impossible to climb them with bare hands.
So what, you have to use ladders?
Usually they're using ladders. But there is some places that they already cut it. And sometimes there is pipe under it to gather the water. And yes, there is some bar on it, but they cut also the bars.
So when you came across this border, you didn't cross this fence. What did you do instead?
So after I leave the town in Turkey and walking for almost half a day, I reached to the river. And this river was very wide and I have to swim on it. I was preparing myself, so I had big plastic bags to put my stuff on it. And I was swimming like more than a minute to cross this river.
So everything you own, you're either wearing or it's in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
On the river.
On the river, yeah. Everything was there.
Back in 2015, in the aftermath of the outbreak of the war in Syria, hundreds of thousands of people reached Europe through either Greece or Bulgaria. The people that live in this border village of Shtit tell me they haven't seen numbers like that crossing the border in the past couple of years.
He has seen a whole family of Syrian refugees, a whole family with children. They walked around here.
They were just over here?
No.
Just here?
Yes, they were just over there. And he saw them, he called the police, and the police came and picked them up.
With little children?
Three small children on the
shoulders. Oh, on the shoulders. Does this happen often? Or?
Once he saw 81 people there. But that was a few years ago, like 2015, 2016.
Back then, the fence was just 30 kilometers long. Now it runs for more than 200 kilometers along the Bulgaria-Turkey border, built with EU funds that also provide for some of the drones, the cameras, the Frontex EU border officers guarding parts of it. Nikolai runs the village restaurant.
I feel very safety on this place.
You're safe
because here many more policemen.
In the past, there were a lot of migrants that came here.
Before 2 years, many more, but now it's not.
Now not.
Now not.
Because the police.
Yes.
They protect the area. They have cameras.
Cameras, Frontex, policemen of Germany, of Poland, and different Europe countries.
In the past couple of years, the United Kingdom has worked more closely with Bulgaria because the rubber boats that traffic people across the English Channel from France are often made in Turkey and smuggled across the Bulgarian land border. So how come, with all that investment in policing, the number of people managing to get into the EU via this Eastern Mediterranean route from Turkey into either Bulgaria or Greece, how come that route is on the increase? The answer I found in Bulgaria's biggest refugee camp, about an hour's drive from the Bulgarian border. Hands up if you came here with a people smuggler and it was easy to get over the border from Turkey to Bulgaria. There's a lot of people nodding yes.
Yes.
And it's easy?
Easy. No, not easy.
Not easy?
No, easy.
You come over the fence?
Okay.
Over the ladder?
Yes.
And you have to pay a lot of money?
Yes.
Did you see the police?
No police.
No police?
No police.
So you pay the smugglers, you climb over the fence, but you don't see the police?
No police.
They saw a few cameras in the woods, but the traffickers knew what to look for, where not to go, because they're very familiar with the area. Because they waited, for example, when the shifts changed. Changed overnight to cross and stuff like that, but the traffickers knew very well what they were doing.
It's a crisp, beautiful morning, a blue sky over a disused military base. Barbed wire surrounds the walls here. The gates are as secure as if the tanks were still inside. It's home now to almost 1,000 migrants, Syrians in the main, who want to be refugees here in Bulgaria. There's more than 230 children, 100 of them unaccompanied. This, their home, not just for the odd day or week, but sometimes for many months, occasionally for a few years.
My name is Omar. I come from Kamishli in Syria. I went through Turkey to reach Bulgaria. He is 17 years old. It was very difficult for him to collect all the money to pay the smugglers that he used. They walked for 3 days when they were in Syria. Then once they got to Turkey, they were driven to the northern part of Turkey, but then they had to walk for 2 days in forests until they got to the Bulgarian border. Then they climbed over the fence, and then they walked for another 2 days in Bulgaria.
When you were near the fence, did you see the police?
So he said he didn't see any police, any border police, and they just walked, and the smugglers just knew where to take them.
What's going on inside Bulgaria's refugee camps is not something the government here want you to focus on. They instead want you to look at what's happening at the busiest land border in Europe, the border between Bulgaria and Turkey, between the EU and the wider world. They want to show off the efforts they're making to catch the people hidden in the backs of lorries, to catch the boats carried on lorries across that border. And why do they want to show that off? Because of the prize on offer.
membership of Schengen, the borderless zone of the EU, and the riches that could follow.
Valeri.
Yes. And your job is?
I'm a crew leader. I'm responsible almost for everything.
Our first guide here at Capitan Andreevo is Valeri Stoikov, a customs officer, and his dog, a British trained dog.
Her name is Adele. Her main job is to sniff boats, to sniff rubber.
Let's see what Adele can do.
We hide two pieces of rubber on the bus and the truck here. He's showing part of the minibus and she's sniffing right now. Now she stopped on the place where the rubber was hidden and she found the rubber.
So
the rubber that's in this sample that Adele has just found have been cut from boats that were found in the UK. They were found on the English shore. So they cut these bits of those boats and they send them here so that they can train the dog with them.
What's interesting is that the bit of rubber is tiny.
That's why it's very important that they train the dog to be able to find even the smallest amount of smell, so that the dog can sense even tiny little bit of smell. And the purpose is exactly that they find more boats.
But what happens if the person with the boat says to your officer, I have some boats to go fishing. Mm-hmm. How do you know I'm a people smuggler?
That's why Bulgaria changed the law and there are just exporters from Turkey who are approved.
If I don't have a license, I have already broken the law.
Sure, and we will confiscate the boat.
But if I only get a fine, maybe I just try again next week. If I make a lot of money from people smuggling, I can pay any number of 2,000 euro fines.
That's for sure. Nobody says we stop everything here, but we tried hard.
The chief of the border police here, the man in charge of the hundreds of officers trying to intercept the people smugglers, the migrants and the boats, is a man called Yanni Bechev. He shows me the techniques they use to find what the smugglers would rather stay hidden.
So these
are lorries coming from Turkey into Bulgaria. So he's using a device that is called a gas analyzer. So this device here, as you can see on the screen, is detecting the presence of carbon dioxide inside the lorry. If it's above a certain level, then there is a living organism inside the vehicle.
So the officer here has like a long metal wand, a few feet long, and attached to it is a screen a little bit bigger than a normal mobile phone. The wand goes up inside the skin of the lorry and is detecting carbon dioxide. You talk of the success here in protecting this border from the people smugglers, but there is also corruption, people paying officials to get across borders. There are other problems that you have to deal with.
It is true that there are problems with corruption and bribes when it comes to officers working guarding the border. That's why they take very serious measures and they're very efficient. Like, for example, the officers change their posts every 3 months so they don't stay in one place for too long. And also within every 12-hour shift, they change their desks, their workspaces, 4 times within a 12-hour shift. And this way, no one knows where they're going to be at a certain point in their shift.
Back at Harmony Reception Centre, Bulgaria's biggest refugee camp, is a reminder that for all the talk of fences and border police, of sniffer dogs and clever bits of machinery, in the end, what migration is about is desperate people willing to do desperate things to escape desperate situations. This place is home to people who've done just that. Amongst them, Radwan, a Syrian, who made it across the border just 2 months ago.
He says all the governments in Europe are aware that the smugglers are at work and they know this is happening and it will continue to happen. Whatever they say they're doing, the migrants won't stop coming.
So Radwan, this keeps happening because You don't want to go home to Syria?
No, I'm in Syria.
Nothing will stop because all the dogs are still there. Everyone is there still fighting.
Syria, al-jami, Russia, Iran, Hezbollah, Al-Sin, America.
Hezbollah, the United States, the EU, the French, the Chinese. Everyone is still there and they're fighting.
Syria has jami al-lajiin.
Syria has always accepted everyone. They've welcomed everyone from everywhere in the world. So what will happen now that the Syrians are starting to get rejected in Europe? What will happen next? We'll hope that the war gets stopped and ends. And the world becomes a more peaceful place.
What will happen now if, as Radwan feels, Europe turns its back on Syrians and others wanting to move for a better life? Governments in Europe are looking to stop the flow of people, not just Syrians, Afghans, but others too, to deter them from making the journey, to deport those who succeed and disrupt the smuggling gangs that help them. But as this route, the Eastern Mediterranean route from Turkey into Greece or Bulgaria, becomes steadily popular again, the limits of that aim become clear. In the end, those who really want to make it from one side of the border to the other will probably succeed. And the proof of that is on show at Bulgaria's biggest refugee camp, close to the Bulgarian border, where Radwan, Omar and many others tell me how they managed to jump over the fence.